Brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus, as always, is your full-service rare coin, precious metals, broker, dealer, depository service. We're always actively engaged in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals, gold, silver, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, coins, bars, dental gold, old U.S. coinage, you name it. We do it. We do a lot with rare coins, collectible coins. I even personally collect tactical weapons, and I on a very personal basis, tactical weapons I'm willing to trade for stuff that's out of my own private holdings. Just have to clarify that is not part of my business. That's a personal interest of mine. I don't resell them. So there's no misunderstanding there at all. I just collect, and I like good quality military type tactical good stuff, you know, and I've traded for quite a few over the years here. If you have anything like that, I'm interested. I'm not just looking for guns or rifles, just, you know, decent stuff or good quality pistols, things like that. But anyway, just had to throw that in there. Not sure where that came from. Coins Plus specializes in building portfolios. We specialize in precious metals-based portfolios, wealth and capital preservation, I guess we kind of refer to it as. We like to help you preserve and protect your wealth. Folks, right now there is sincerely going on a lot of very wealthy, important people doing everything in their power to move into solid, hard assets. I was speaking with a friend of mine the other day who's very in-depth, I guess, just very embedded in the Wall Street world in New York. He's at the top. He works around the big boys. He knows the system, and he has made a tremendous amount of money in the stock market over the years. Not in the stock, in the stock business over the years, basically on people like you and I. But the other day he was telling me, everybody, he said, is very nervous about this bubble. He said that they're sincerely concerned that it is going to take a dump. They said the one thing that could hold it up is if Trump can get in a radical tax cut, and that's the thing that they're looking for. He said that, again, would be temporary, but like he said, the speculation in the market is their greatest concern. And he did say that people are moving into tremendous hard assets. Incredible. In fact, you know, to be honest with you, you're seeing, I don't know, you probably don't follow the upper end real estate market like I do, but you're seeing a lot of solid activity in upper end everything, in quality cars, quality collectibles, all kinds of crazy stuff, old dueling pistols, you know, signatures of very famous people, things like this. They're really worth something. They're good long-term savings. And it's interesting. I had a guy say to me the other day, and he had a really good point. He said, you know, until I became a Christian and started to read the Bible, I really didn't understand or desire gold and silver. And he said, you know, it's a spiritual thing. And he's right. Because what happens is when you start to understand the Bible and God and the fact that the Bible is true as true gets. I was reading a bounce, right? I was reading a thing the other day about archaeologists from Oxford, Cambridge, all these guys, complete atheists. They read the Bible as if it is a fact, and then they go try to find it. They don't refute it. When you hear these moron atheists here in the United States complaining or trying to refute the Bible, they've never been to Israel. They've never even done any reasonable research. They don't understand the inerrancy of it. Professionals in archaeology understand it. But when people get into the Bible and they understand the inerrancy of it, and they start to realize that God created a system for us, a specific system of investing or wealth preservation, or whatever you want to refer to it as, they suddenly have their eyes open. When you realize that everything else about the Bible is true and accurate, you start to take what God says seriously about money and gold and silver. Very, very clear and concise in the Bible about what true wealth is. And then people think, well, we're smarter. We've taken it further. You know, we're so intelligent. We've got incredible technology. Folks, what we have is incredible corruption. As knowledge increases, we have got problems. Look at all of this, you know, these attacks and all, you know, we've got all these mass shootings. We've lost our security. I remember growing up as a kid, I've said this over and over in school, hearing these, you know, how horrible it was in Russia that you had to show your papers to go through various checkpoints, to fly, to ride a bus, to check into a hotel. Well, guess what? Here we are. You got to have a credit card and an ID for absolutely everything now. And what's eventually happening is the microchip is coming because we have breaches on a grand scale for, like the Equifax breach. Equifax is the number one provider of credit bureaus in the world. They're huge. They've got your everything about you, from your social security number, your job, your address. How many kids do you have? What are their names? They can link to your kids' social security numbers. They've got every address you've ever lived at, every phone number you've ever had, your phone number now, every bank account, credit card account, automobile account, everything. They've got the account numbers. They can get all that information. That's what they get with a breach. And at that point, folks, you know, Equifax tries to hide it. They deceive. This corporate malarkey that takes place is unbelievable. Corporations abuse power. They get a hierarchy, and they get legal teams that learn how to abuse people. We, you know, are dealing with an issue with, I have a house up north with Whitworth Water, and, you know, their water meter kept exploding in our basement and destroying the house, and we'd clean it up and repair everything, and then it happened again, and they kept saying it was something we were doing, and finally, after the fifth time over a period of 2 years, I, you know, got into a heavy arm wrestling match and made them come out and do the testing, and they proved it was their fault. It was a faulty system. And then dealing with their insurance to repair the stuff is unbelievable. The claims rep is playing all these games saying, well, we're not covering this, we're not covering that. You know, we only pay for damages, not repairs. And I'm like, what's the difference? Of course, he couldn't explain it, but it's all this corporate bureaucracy that's come in because they've become for profit. If somebody puts a water meter in my home and they force me to have it to have their water, and then it keeps exploding and destroying my home, it's not my responsibility to pay for 60% of the damages. This is the mentality of corporate America now. It is no longer just do the right thing. It's all about shaving and saving money. And it's a poor reflection. You know, they basically open themselves up for all kinds of liability on stuff like that. But this is the new mentality. This is the new world we live in. This is all, it all is indirectly reflected of the fiat currency system. There's hyperinflation. There's all these money games. There's all these banking games. There's all this wealth transfer that goes on. We're watching, you know, this, I love this now, where all the true Russia collusion's coming out now, which we always knew. You know, to a thief, according to Confucius say, to a thief, everyone's a thief. I'm sure there's a proverb that's similar to that. And so when the Democrats are accusing Trump of all this Russia collusion, and they just cannot even believe it doesn't exist because they know that they themselves were colluding with the Russians and Trump is clean. I mean, you're dealing with a man who's not a politician. Politicians are corrupt. They sell out. They'll go to any extent to win. And these people are pushing this narrative. And then you've got all this corruption with the, you know, Bill Clinton meeting Loretta Lynch on the tarmac and James Comey writing Hillary's exoneration 2 months before he interviews her, and Loretta Lynch telling him to not refer to it as an investigation but a matter. And, you know, you go down this whole road of corruption, and Hillary Clinton giving Russia control over 20% of our uranium-238. They call it the uranium-1 deal. This thing was signed off by Eric Holder, Obama, everybody. At the same time, she got a huge amount of money, like $40 or $50 million put into the Clinton Fund, of which she, you know, absconds a majority of it. In a survey of all the employees who work for the Clinton Foundation, on a scale from 1 to 5 of how effective they thought they were in how effective the fund was in assisting charities and assisting people, the employees, 4 out of 5 employees rated it a 1. They know it's all corrupt. This is the level of corruption that has infiltrated and embedded our system. We're not smarter, folks. Well, call it smarts, call it whatever you want. But our monetary system, our entire shift from biblical principles is destroying our nation, is it not? I mean, all these things that started in the 60s and then really peaked out with Bill Clinton in the 90s during the Monica Lewinsky scandal with the spinning of information, right? It depends. He gets asked in a deposition. It depends. His answer is, it depends what your definition of the word is. You know, and we start this spin where we twist words, and all of a sudden now we've trained a whole new generation with Obama in office to create massive division, incredible division in this nation, to spin and twist and turn and never settle and never rest and never be harmonious and never agree. The Saul Alinsky principles, rules for radicals, the Cloward and Piven principles, the Marxist principles. These are never settle. And then the overall gist of it all, the name that encompasses all of it, is called critical theory. They say it's critical theory, just to be critical, to constantly criticize everything about the system. To criticize Obama, to criticize Trump at such a level, and his administration, that they have proven, sadly enough, that when enough of this is done, whether it's false or not, which kind of bounces you into Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister for the Nazi Party, who's quoted as saying, tell a lie long enough, the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it. So when you continue to pound forth with these deceptive lies and these attacks, people have a combination of beginning to accept it, saying there's got to be something there or they wouldn't be doing it. And number two, they get weary. They're tired of it. So it's been proven that they will try to oust or remove the person in office to just make the scandal go away. So the left is creating this. Now, here's something that you may or may not be aware of is going on. We have got a couple different things that are happening simultaneously that I've got in front of me here. Number one, well, I don't know where to start. I'll combine the two. So when Obama left office, he started with funding from George Soros. Okay, you want to know who George Soros is? Brief, unbelievable billionaire, tens of billions of dollars. And what George Soros, he started out as a Jew in Nazi Germany. His dad paid off the Nazis to not kill him. And then George Soros assisted Nazis in rounding up other Jews for concentration camps, extermination, and most importantly, for confiscation of and liquidation of their assets. George Soros, as a youth, was involved in confiscating and capturing his own people, his own blood, his own nationality. Sick as sick gets, am I right? Deep. You can't get worse than that. Does he have a conscience? No. He laughs about it. He says, I had to do it or someone else would do it. He's proud of it. So then he comes out later in life and he starts to become a stockbroker. He conducts a few trades. I think his big first one was shorting the British pound. And he had a guy working for him that recommended he did it. He made over $1 billion on one trade. Suddenly, he's the man. And from there, he has made all of his money by shorting currencies as nations are on the brink of financial collapse. He actually comes in with leverage to try to pound these countries into the dirt. He tries to take them down. He tries to destroy their economies, which what does that do? That destroys all the people's wealth. It destroys commerce. It destroys employment. It destroys everything. He laughs about it. On four separate occasions, he has maimed nations at such a level. The Bank of Hong Kong he tried to take down so ruthlessly, they luckily saw it coming, and they had to put in $118 billion of their own money just to soften the blow, or George Soros would have collapsed Hong Kong. Now, you might think, well, hey, it's business, right? No, folks, it's not business. Let me tell you something. I spent years in banking, and I came up with after a while was I was blown away. Once I learned what I learned as I got into executive level management in banking, the amount of money that I could legally abscond from a bank if I had absolutely no morals and ethics became astounding. I knew the system. I knew how the system worked. I knew loopholes. I'd learned the games. I knew as an outsider how to take a bank for a tremendous amount of money. It isn't a one-time con. It's a system. It's building faith. It's building a reputation. It's pushing everything to the limits. It's going from one project to the next, and pushing it up, 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 up. Okay? There are guys who do this effectively with positive ethics and every good intention, and then they end up in situations where markets turn hard and they take big losses. A good example from the positive intention but of the most extreme entrepreneur would be Donald Trump. Back in the 80s, he was growing real estate like crazy. He had success after success, and it got to the point where the banks were begging him to take their money. And he did. And he began to grow and grow and grow. Then he tried to build the biggest, baddest, and coolest casino in the world, and it was the Taj Mahal, and it went down hard. And it took him down. But when he negotiated the final settlement, he basically negotiated for the bank's benefit. He came in and said, look, I'm going to help you guys. He offered a huge proposal. I have a friend that's involved with Barclays Bank now that was involved with the whole negotiation, very familiar with it. Trump offered a very amicable, reasonable assistance for them to recuperate their maximum amount of money, and he really went the extra mile to help them out. So truly a man of integrity. He was the extreme. The guy who was the most motivated, driven entrepreneur that wanted it all. Maybe you can call it greed. I don't think it is. I think it's an internal engine that's put into a man. Look where he is now. He's the president of the United States. I would say that he was relatively motivated. You know, there's people out there that'll look at that and they'll say, well, that's just too much. He shouldn't want this and want that. Folks, God, I believe God plants a dream in each of us. I really do. I think we all kind of have a destiny, and I think that we need to identify that and pursue it. If you're a true entrepreneur or you're a true business person, you know it, and other people don't. People who are not don't understand it. In fact, in a lot of cases, I've seen many situations where churches are just the opposite. They don't appreciate business. They don't understand the ethical boundaries. They don't understand the ethical significance of business on the world in this country. Business is one of the most mind-expanding experiences a man can do. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and on down the list. These men were phenomenal businessmen. Business can be an expansion of philosophy and intellect. It's an expression of all you are. It's what God put us here to do. Now, not everybody's made for it. Not everybody's wired for it. But I've seen situations where people that are not wired for it in the church. I saw a situation in particular where a guy who owned a great big buffet restaurant or something like that had gotten himself into a whole bunch of financial trouble. And he got contacted and sold a bunch of stuff by Goldline. Who back in the day were, you know, they were on the air and they were pushing stuff and they charged a minimum of double what stuff was worth. This guy realized he had been taken for, you know, he had like $300,000 worth of stuff. He'd paid double what it was worth. And he said, oh, well, I know what to do with this. I'm going to sell it to so-and-so. They won't know it. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, they've asked me if they could just buy it from me. They have a lot of money, and they want to just buy my investment from me. I said, it's a bad investment. It's a ripoff. You wouldn't do that. He goes, yeah, I would. I said, what are you kidding me? He said, hey, business is business. I'm like, you are a Christian man, and you are going to intentionally take advantage of another Christian person from your own church? And he absolutely justified it. Now, he did do that, and it's a sad situation because that other guy came in and talked to us about it, and I explained what I'd seen happen. The transaction was done. The pain was done. After that, I watched God disassemble the man's life in every possible way, bankrupted him. You know, his wife left him, all kinds of contention, legal issues, etc. Karma, if you want to call it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life. And so, anyway, basically, business is an extension of who we are. So what I was getting at is the fact that if a man loses his morality, he can take banks down. What happened with the big financial crisis of 2008 is they went and they taught everybody in America, you're not responsible. Take the bank down. The banks are bad. Who cares if you signed your name? It's their fault. They should have known better than to loan you the money. You know, you couldn't afford it. So don't feel responsible. Don't make it right. Folks, what we did in 2008 with the mortgage crisis on average was a massive expression of immorality in a complete, one of the greatest breaches of ethics in our history. And what do I mean by that? Money is something that we are all forced to deal with, no matter who you are. You can decide to live in a little cabin up in the hills and say, money's not going to affect my life. Well, money is affecting your life more there than anybody else because you're living without it. And God made it an innate part of your composition that you have to deal with it. So, or people, socialists, become angry. Money hurts their lives, they think. They don't understand it's their decision-making. 95% of the time, they blame the money. And so they say, well, if I could just get free money and everybody, you know, else could work and just hand it to me and we could just all share. The people who want to share for socialism come from either the upper echelons or the lower echelons. Middle class isn't so crazy about it. People at the middle class say, you know, it'd be nice to get a break. I could use a booster shot. People in the middle class listen to this socialism stuff and they think, well, maybe, you know, it might be nice to have health care so I didn't have to pay for my daughter's, you know, broken leg or, you know, whatever it happens to be going on or tonsils or whatever. You know, but on the other hand, they realize they're shelling out too much for health care. Health care is a scandal, by the way. It's a scandal. It's a ripoff. And the pharmaceutical companies are worse. But the middle class just says, you know, if I could get a little bit of a break, I might be okay. The lower class, they don't have it. They don't have money. They're like, I would love to share because if we evenly distributed money, everybody is richer than me. I'll come out on top. The elite, the top, they want it because they know that once that system locks in, they think their wealth is locked and loaded. And they think that at that point, everybody's going to be equally poor and they will be substantially rich and they will be an elitist. The people that push it the hardest are the left, the people that are already in political positions and positions of power. They want it because they want to establish a permanent socialocracy. They want their socialism to be embedded in this nation. They want their position locked and loaded. They want the money, the power, and the prestige that goes with it. The motivation is evil in general for socialism, the people that push it. When you go to the conservative side that's fighting it, you know, they're saying, look, for each one of us is given our own dreams, our own set of challenges, our own set of goals and hopes and a destiny. And one guy's destiny may be to work for the Forest Service. He may be happier than you can imagine working for Fish and Wildlife or working in a game preserve. another guy may love building homes more than anything you can imagine. And he may be so talented with it, it's not even funny. Another guy, his drive may be to race cars. And then another guy may be a businessman who wants to own and manage skyscrapers. You know, I mean, this is just the way we're made up. Each of us has our own individual personality that God gave us. And when you look at it and you think, okay, well, there's 8 billion people. How can God care about me? Folks, first of all, I want you to just think for a minute the fact that you're even here. The fact that you're here with conscious thought is an absolute magnificent blessing. Some of our lives are tough, and sometimes they're really hard, and they hurt. And we look and we go, man, I wish I wasn't here. It just hurts. But I'm telling you, the fact that you are is such a blessing. The fact that God said that he cares about each and every one of us, just because our population is 8 billion and our mind has a hard enough time keeping up with two or three of our own children, doesn't mean that God can't keep up with the massive magnitude of what he's created. He knows each and every single one of us, and he cares about each and every single one of us. Each and every single one of us is crafted individually. And you may not have the nicest body, and you may not be the best looking person, and you may not be the best athlete. And that only matters to you because the world says it should. But the fact of the matter is you're made exactly the way God wants you to be made. Now, we've got responsibilities, and in America, we have overstepped our boundaries with gluttony. Gluttony is one of the deadly sins in the Bible, and yet it's something that no longer ever gets discussed. Our nation's diet in and of itself is gluttonous. It's filled with fillers that create food addictions and cravings and, you know, high fructose corn syrup. Do some research on that. That's illegal in every other civilized country in the world because it's a combined molecular structure. Because one of the molecules is so high in its glycemic index, it goes straight to fat. You can't stop it. So if you're drinking Big Gulp Pop every day, half of those HFCS, high fructose corn syrup molecules, are breaking off and going straight to fat. That's a short story of how it goes down, but that's it. That's why you're gaining fat. If you're drinking Diet Pop every day, and you're like, I'm drinking diet and I'm just getting fat, it's because the Diet Pop doesn't have sugar, the calories, but it creates 7 times the insulin response as sugar. You are better off drinking real sugar pop. Now, I'm saying don't do it at all. But if you have to have pop, drink real traditional sugar pop. Don't drink high fructose corn syrup. Don't eat or drink anything with high fructose corn syrup in it ever. And stay away from aspartame, because not only does it create fat, it actually creates cancer. It's been proven time and time and time again, but the money, the lobby is too strong. You speak of lobbies being too strong. I mean, I could go that direction. I won't. But, you know, as far as the gluttony in this nation, we have turned a blind eye to the fact that our obesity rate is the worst documented obesity rate in any civilized nation in history that we know of. And you know that it is because we have all this modified and engineered food, genetically modified foods that no one, that to our knowledge, at least post-flood, no one's ever been able to do. We've got so much corruption going on with Google, okay? Google is now filtering. I'll briefly touch on this. I have somewhere I want to go with the show, believe it or not. So here's what's going on. So we've got, let's use, for example, the Vegas shooting, okay? Folks, there are so many loopholes in this. Something doesn't fit. Okay, the Vegas shooter is a blank slate. They can find nothing on him. No computer searches. They can find no comments he made to anybody. Nothing is consistent. He was the perfect white guy as far as the gun control advocates. And where I'm going with this is George Soros and Obama are working together. Soros just put $18 billion into his Open Society project. Okay. So basically, the money is now dedicated. If George Soros dies or someone picks him off or whatever, doesn't matter. The train is now moving. That money, which they're spending a billion a year, primarily from your standpoint and mine, against the Trump administration and against conservatism as a whole. $1 billion a year. False information. Okay. $1 billion a year of literal radical socialistic propaganda. Earlier, I was saying that George Soros was, you know, in the Nazi Germany, sold out on his fellow Jews. Of course, he claims he's against communism, but what he is for is what he calls a liberal democracy. Okay? So he's claiming that this is the true way. And he, in his fund, his project, they call it, Open Society, the name is based on a book which was written by a philosopher that he went to college with. And I can't remember off the top of my head the guy's name. I don't have it right here. I had it yesterday. But the fact is, this guy wrote a book on this Open Society thing. And it is radical, radical, radical left-wingism. He's the one that's taking down the stone cross. I saw this week in a community where they're getting these local courts. And then Obama has his. He works under Soros's money, but he's got what's called OFA, which is the... Sorry about that. It's organization. Oh, I can find it here. I apologize. That's just Organization for Action. Obama, his Organization for Action. He is doing the same thing from a different angle under the George Soros Open Society Project. So what's going on is they are putting huge amounts of money into anti-guns. And here's the categories George Soros covers and says that his fund handles, and then I'll talk about Obama. His, he says, economic governance and advancement, okay? Which means he wants to control the money of the world. He wants the money to go towards these radical socialist open society things, abortion, gun rights, homosexuality, open borders, immigration, etc. Justice, reform, and the rule of law. They want to add in hate speech. They want to bring in religious discrimination into the courts. They want to abolish everything our founding fathers stood for. He is dedicating his fund to literally abolish, overturn, and wipe out our Constitution. Okay? And then we have what he calls equality and anti-discrimination. So our Constitution says, you know, race, sex, or gender, religion, the things you're born into, the things you can't help, disabilities, things that are outside of your power. So they bring in these things that are choices of sin, okay? Abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism. California is the first state ever to pass a new law adding a third gender category, okay? You got male, you got female. What do they call the third one? Non-binary gender. Binary means on or off, red or white, black or white, right? Non-black or white gender, and I don't mean race. In other words, not male or female, whatever you want it to be. This applies to birth certificates. It applies to driver's licenses, and it applies to all kinds of other stuff. So now there are literally parents, and I am not exaggerating, there are parents that are putting a non-binding, non-binary gender on their child's birth certificate, stating that they want their child to determine their gender later in life when they're old enough to know better. I have a friend who is a terrific teacher. She was, I think, Teacher of the Year in 2014. Really good. And so as a result, they've given her just a tremendous amount of troubled children, very hard, challenging children in math. She does a terrific job with them, and it's actually taken its toll on her stress-wise, and the school district doesn't know how to offer, you know, the proper support in that area because it's so hard. But the point is this. She was telling me about a boy who wants to be a girl at elementary level, wearing tutus, dresses, lipstick, makeup to school. And she said, this boy really, really, really believes he's a girl. He really believes it. And we discussed it, and it's because the parents are feeding these lies to their child. Folks, if you think telling your male child that he might be a female is doing him any benefit whatsoever, you are doing psychological damage to that child at a level that is irreversible. You are going to destroy, permanently maim and destroy that child's life for good. That child, again, has been created by God in a specific way. That child needs to be comfortable with their identity the way God made them. The child needs to explore himself and understand who he is, what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses, what are his talents, where is he blessed, and how can he execute and become the best person God made him to live and be. Instead, these parents are planting seeds of lies. God didn't make you right. You're confused. You don't know. You should be something else. You're not good enough the way you are, etc. This child is completely messed up. Completely messed up. And these parents think they're doing a great, great deal. And the problem is, even when you get into counselors and experts, basically everything now is separated down the line of God and morality or human secularism. You get counselors on the human secular side, they say, oh, this is a good thing. It's all, and it's rubbish because it's the hottest new trends coming out in their journals. You get people on the right side, on the conservative side, and they know what's right and they know what's wrong, and they're using the rationale and common sense and philosophical abilities to analyze these situations that God gave them, and they know right from wrong and truth from fallacy. And these, we're destroying these kids. These people, these transgenders, folks, have an extraordinary high suicide rate. And do you know that, you know, the government wants to pay for their sex changes, even in the military and so forth and so on. Just the sickest, craziest stuff you can imagine. When these people get their full sex change operations, the suicide rate doesn't go down, it goes up, okay? So if they had a problem that could be alleviated through a sexual surgery, sex change surgery, wouldn't you think the suicide rate would go way down after that because they'd finally be what they want to be? No. The suicide rate goes way up. The level of depression, the level of drug use in these groups is astounding. It's double digit multiples of average society. These are not healthy, well feeling people. And then they get taught by the media to hate those that love Christ. Those that know and love God, that want to reach out and help you, they are your enemy. They want to destroy you. They tell these people, homosexuals, and by the way, male homosexuals have a sexual deviancy issue where they are, you know, 28% of homosexual males say that they've had sex with over 1,000 different people in a lifetime. You know, like 55%, it's 500. It's some kind of a deviancy I don't understand. But apparently they get apps on their phone to go hook up, and they engage in lewd sexual acts continuously all the time. And you could never feel good about yourself that way. That the sex act is meant by God to be shared with a spouse in the most intimate situations, etc. It's not meant to be just wasted and used for supposed short-term pleasure. At that point, you're only stimulating your nerve endings, and the aftermath is tremendous. The aftermath for women is even, they say, three times as heavy as it is on guys, because women are the receivers. They're the ones that know it's a precious gift that they have to keep wrapped up and saved. And yet society's telling them to be promiscuous and to just not even respect it, to not respect themselves. The heavy pornography industry is teaching young men to not respect a woman's sexuality, to see them as a sex object, okay? So, of course, claims of date rape on campuses is through the roof. I understand there's a lot of it. It's bad. I think it's a double-edged sword. Women are getting themselves into situations they should not. If they go to a fraternity party where everybody's, you know, so drunk they can't see straight and they're acting like maniacs and morons, that is not a safe place for, and especially where there's open free sex everywhere, that is not a place for a woman, not anyone really, but especially a woman. You just don't want to put yourself in those situations. I'm not saying that that's the situation that causes date rape all the time at all either. And I do know that there's a high percentage of false claims and all that. And I don't really want to dissect that whole issue. But I do know that men are being conditioned. You have this combination of young men that grow up in a society with 8 years of Obama as president, completely self-centered, completely divisive in all ways. And then at the same time, we've got this heavy pornography thing going on, and it's starting to really dement and deviate society in a very, very sad way. And so I think that we need to respect and honor that as much as we can. You know, it's where we've walked away from God in society. Everything comes to that line of good versus bad, right versus wrong, you know, evil versus good. And, you know, like I said, we've got school systems. These kids are just being pulled the wrong direction. We're not supposed to just chase our nerve endings. The whole system is basically designed to devolve us away from God. Growing towards God is technical macro evolution, okay? The closer we get to God, the better people we get. The most magnificent things in the history of the world have happened with men and women of God, period. So what we've got is, you know, George Soros, he's got all this equality and discrimination. Human rights movements and institutions. We're seeing this human rights stuff. People, they don't want discomfortable speech. They don't, or uncomfortable speech said. They don't want, they just want to be, it's this false utopian concept that doesn't exist. Their idea of human rights is to create false groups of gender, like I was talking about, and then make themselves martyrs, essentially, in society for something that really is a choice. And I don't doubt the fact that people are born with a propensity towards these sins and they struggle with them. No doubt. Okay. People say I was born that way. Everyone's born with snags. We are a broken mankind. We're a fallen being, and we've all got a propensity towards certain types of sin. Each man has his own cross to carry, his own burden to bear. And the problem is, just because we have an urge to do it doesn't mean that we should do it. It's a sexual deviancy. And if we sat around with addiction and we said, hey, let's celebrate addiction and let's feed this addiction. You know, this addiction's a wonderful thing. Let's just get everybody who's addicted together and celebrate addiction, and we're going to feed it and we're going to make it grow, and we're going to say this is a special need and a special right. And that's really what we're doing here with this, feeding this homosexuality thing. Folks, I can't believe what I'm watching in this world right now. It's sad. And Obama and Soros are behind it more than you know. The Vegas shooter thing I started on, I'm telling you, there's so many loopholes. I don't really want to get into them. But They had this perfect white candidate, okay? And I, there's conspiracy theories all over. Do you know that they have no record of him buying all these assault weapons? Okay, they have a record of him buying a shotgun and like a rifle over the last year and a half, 2 years. That's it. Someone may have spotted this guy, followed him. There was a mechanic or a maintenance engineer from the Mandalay Bay that said that in those suites there are huge heating ducts that run up and down that those ends of the buildings next to the stairs, with big vents into the rooms. He said it'd be so easy to get into one of those vents to escape. When they got the shooter, supposedly who committed suicide, they released one picture, which they quickly recanted because he had a bullet hole in the chest. They say that the shooter shot 200 bullets through the door out into the hallway, yet there's very little evidence of that. There was a handful of bullet holes in the door going the other way. And you say, how can you tell? It's simple. If you have experience with guns, go shoot a tree, go shoot a board, go shoot doors. You'll have the entry point is a small hole. The exit point is a massive sharded shred, okay? Because that lead expands and it rips as it goes through and it blows out the back. The door had little holes on the front side. Absolutely. And a small quantity of them, less than 20. And so the shooting was going into the room. Whether, you know, the SWAT killed him or what, I can't even begin to tell you. I don't know. But there's so much fishy stuff going on. So they get this perfect guy, no records. Mandalay doesn't have videos of him hauling stuff in and out. Of course, his room was right next to a stairway. And this Jose Jesus Campos, who was supposedly the security guard, started there less than 2 months before, no real experience, and he supposedly got shot. He disappeared for weeks, and when he showed up, you know, there was no evidence. No one saw the gunshot wound. He said he had a burning sensation in his leg, pulled up his pant, there was blood. That's what he said, okay? So he's saying from 200 rounds, he got a piece of shrapnel or something, nothing real major. In his interviews, he's real quiet. He's not divulging much of anything. The timelines aren't matching up. There was, you know, there was claims that people heard drilling beforehand. One of the major things from Army Rangers is that as soon as these Army Rangers heard this, the videos, and I've seen the videos of the Army Rangers discussing it, they said immediately, there's two guns there. They're experts. Are they not? Have they not been in war? They know the sound of two guns. They said there's two guns, and they said it's not an AR-15 with a bump stock. They said it was an M240, which is a mini machine gun. When I first heard the audio, I was like, what kind of clip is that? When they're saying the guy's using clips, they have one that sounds to me like 250 to 300 rounds at fully automatic rate, nonstop, just flying through the air, okay? And so I don't know what all that means at this point. I'm not here to dissect it, but I'm telling you all the information's false. The sheriffs can provide nothing. It's very likely a setup where they found a guy, as their shill. Someone else may have conducted the shooting and then killed him or had him on site, you know, and then they said there was his house, the shooter's house, had been broken into before the FBI got there. And they said, oh, how sloppy of work. They released the guy's name before the FBI got to his house. Okay? So here's the problem. They claim because they released his name early, someone got to the house before them to break in. Give me a break, right? But really, what the real debate is, someone broke into his house to plant the guns. Maybe they didn't have time to clean up before they saw someone coming and had to get out. Not sure. But there's no record of him supposedly buying these 42 assault weapons and all this other stuff. No record of him buying this supposed explosive that was in his vehicle. There's just something bad. And the most frustrating thing for the left was this was about gun rights. They were using this to go after gun rights, domestic terror, to say, look, here's a white guy. He's got a perfect record. There's no way we could have ever seen him coming, And so we basically have to just take apart guns, take away guns. The problem is the media jumped on this bump stock theory way too fast. And there's no evidence there was a bump stock used, but they focused on the bump stock so heavily it took the focus off the guns. The left was very frustrated. They kept trying to move the narrative into gun control, and it didn't seem to work out as well as they hoped. So, enough of that. Gun control is what they're doing. They've got so much money. I think you're going to see more and more of these orchestrated events. And as terrible as that sounds, and you might think, oh, goodness, Kevin, are you kidding me? You really think, someone would spend the money to do something like this? Well, all I say is do deep investigation on 9/11. Go watch a movie called 911 Mysteries online. It's an old flick. Just lays out a lot of questions and start there. Go watch Loose Change, things like that. You will find that, when the $2.some trillion was missing from the Department of Defense, the People for a New American Century may have very well orchestrated the event that they had predicted would come and that they wanted to see come. So George Soros's organization, Human Rights Movements and Institutions, then, of course, democratic practice is one of what they call it. Health and rights. Well, you know what the health care is. That's the abortion and the rights to get whatever you want done to your body on the government expense. Of course, money goes to journalism. And, of course, early childhood education. What's that? It's pretty obvious. Journalism, control the media. Early childhood education, control the schools. You got a society. Obama's 8 years captured a whole upcoming generation. Their level of self-centeredness is unlike anything we've ever witnessed before. And then, of course, the next chunk of the fund is higher education and then information and digital rights, which, of course, control the internet and cross-thematic, whatever that is. Google and YouTube and all these companies now are scrubbing Twitter, Facebook, they're scrubbing anything they find inconvenient, anything they find inappropriate, anything they call offensive. So people that are coming out with well-constructed videos and articles and information on like hoaxes and these shootings or information that's contrary to the public news, they're being shut down. If you put in, Las Vegas shooter, I tried to search some different things. Google has scrubbed it all. Do not ever read Snopes and believe it. Snopes is supposed to be a website that corrects everything. It's the most left-wing radical agenda you will find. Someone needs to create a right-wing counterpunch to it. It's terrible. But they're scrubbing all this information. So now we're at a point where Google controls Google, Twitter, Facebook. These places control the flow of information. They control the flow of communication. And now they're fully censoring political views that differ with theirs. This is one of the greatest threats to this country in its history. No one saw it coming. They literally control the airwaves. They control our communication channels. This has got to stop. Google has a massive facility, a huge building in Washington, D.C., I saw, for the specific reason that they lobby and they do all their work in D.C. on everything from patents to communication rights and the FCC and so on. They're controlling everything. They're lobbying with numbers no one's ever fathomed. They're spending amounts of money you can't even dream about. And they're literally influencing. And this will affect ultimately the channel of communication that will be involved in taking this country down, led by no other than Obama, who said he would be involved in politics, not from the front line, but from behind the scenes. So now he's got this organization, OFA, which I can get into a little bit on the next week's show, and essentially it's determined to salvage his legacy, he says. It says it's drawing battle lines on immigration, Obamacare, race relations, and climate change. These are the fronts that Obama is behind the scenes closing. He's got 30,000 people strong attacking Trump at every single turn. It is unbelievable. He's tearing this nation apart, limb by limb, just to get his political agenda through. It says, run by old Obama aides and campaign workers, federal tax records show nonpartisan OFA marshals 32,525 volunteers nationwide registered as a 501c4. It doesn't have to disclose its donors, but they've been generous. OFA has raised more than $40 million in contributions and grants since evolving from Obama's campaign organization, quote, Obama for America in 2013. And it goes on and on. This is happening. It's happening now. Folks, we are in a heavy transitional period. And I will tell you, just be wise, be prepared. I will say, as I said at the beginning of the show, the wealthy are moving into assets. Do it. You know, you want to behave in that sort of way. You've got everything to gain, nothing to lose. People have been like, oh, gold's going down. Well, it hasn't. You know, it just doesn't. It's adjusted for inflation. If you want to maintain growth with inflation or above and beyond, let us build you a portfolio to save your money, preserve and protect it in a wise way, off the grid, completely private, no reporting whatsoever. Cash is fine. Just give us a call, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website at coinsplus.com. All of our previously recorded radio shows are available there, folks, but I am beckoning you. Make that move. Like I said, I don't care how much you have in savings. It doesn't matter. Put it in something solid. It's the most liquid asset on earth. We got everything from uncirculated silver JFK Kennedy halves from 1964 for the price of silver. Silver dollars, we're low in some areas, but okay in others. Silver dollars are a great way to go. The old U.S. $20 gold pieces, they're antique gold meant to spend in the U.S. trading at their gold bullion values. There's some great values out there, and we've got some other wonderful stuff. But I really am beseeching you, make the move now. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Do the right thing. Do what God says. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend. I love you. Bye-bye.